A Tricky Kid Media original presentation distributed by iHeartRadio.
K-pop fans, rejoice! Looking for a place to hear your fave K and J-pop groups? Or to discover new ones? Look no further, cause this is K-pop. Hosted by your fave Blink and K-pop obsessive, DJ Tricky Kid.
Hey everybody, I just returned from a crazy Las Vegas adventure. Celebrating I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but it was one of those, milestone birthdays. And I originally went to Vegas just to see and cover twice, but it became this whole other crazy adventure. But I'm so excited to be back and to tell you all about it. Twice, of course, came back to North America to just to do one big show. And it was in Vegas during spring break, during the day before St. Patrick's Day, which is a big deal in Vegas, during March Madness, the basketball tournament. So, I mean, it was like they came at a time where Vegas was on fire, and they were still the talk of the town. Welcoming back, of course, is my girl Aisha from New Mexico, our frequent co-host, and I'm excited to bring her on. So let's get to it. What is the most pertinent and pressing issues, good, bad, in the world of K-pop?
Do you know the boy group RIZE? Well, there's a lot of controversy going around them right now. Crazy Korean fans, jealous they had a previous dating history, or angry that they're smoking. One of the boys kissed another boy on the cheek in a picture, and everyone's outraged because he might be gay. My girl's Luna winning the court case.
Let's talk about that.
It was short-lived.
Was it?
Yeah, BlackBerry is appealing again, so now it's going to the Supreme Court. 2019 was a horrible year for the girls. The album was being sabotaged, so they wouldn't have to pay them. It's a lot of revelations.
Artemis said something coming out with an album. Like, look, we won.
It sounds like an older photo. BlackBerry intends to go after the Artemis girls minus Hassel, I believe. Okay. Eve's coming out too.
Separate from Artemis.
Yeah, she's solo right now.
Okay, so the whole adventure of going to see Twice in Vegas began as we have a mutual friend, David, here in Dallas, Texas, and Twice is his favorite group, and he has traveled all around and said he was going, my 50th birthday was coming up, and he said, if you want to come, I got you covered. Wow, cool, right? So now it is show day, the 16th. One night before, there was a DJ going to do K-pop night. Based upon the ad, I think it might have even have been all ages, and like $60 to get in. I've done the Punk Rock Museum, the Omelet House, and the Hoover Dam, and a nudie show, and I've got Twice tomorrow. Do I really need to go to an all ages K-pop night for $60?
Right.
I was texting with David, who I'd not seen yet. Why don't you come over to Rio? Maybe we could play a couple of hands of Blackjack. And he said, that sounds fun. I'll do that. And then I never heard from him again. I woke up the next morning and I text him. Still nothing. Did Vegas get him already on day one? Finally, he said he was on this baccarat run of a lifetime and he couldn't get away from the table. Well, did the baccarat table make your phone stop working?
Right.
I was genuinely concerned about you. All right, cool. What time should I get there? He had bought also like the sound checky thing at 2 o'clock that I've got 90 minutes to get myself over to Legion Stadium. I never knew we were doing sound check. I showered very quickly, rushed. Since so many people were going to Legion Stadium, they drop you off in the Uber zip code. Oh, wait, I get asked, I'm all excited. There's a Legion Stadium. It's brand new and beautiful. From the outside, but the north entry, and apparently where you have to go is the south entry, which is literally almost a half a mile. The stadium is so large. Now, here's where it's on me. When you tell me we're going to do sound check, in my mind, that's going to be like 20 people. I had no idea the entire floor had bought these. Who the fuck can afford that?
K-pop fans.
It was more like 20,000 people. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and half of the attendees are already there. I go to the pin drop, expecting to see David, and he's not there. There is this line that looks like hands across America. It is stretched all the way to Arizona. There's no way I'm going to be through this line in time to get in by three. I now get in this VIP line that is without question 10,000 people deep. Who am I to complain? I'm there for free. One thing that was pretty cool, all these people in line were handing me stickers, trading cards, and posters they had made. It was beautiful, man. That was probably my favorite part of the whole thing. Everybody was so happy and people spreading joy.
Well, the work that K-pop fans go into, all those little freebies they make, is I don't know where they find the time or the expense and then just give it away. It's incredible.
A couple people were entrepreneurs. This one gal was trying to raise money for college, and she put together these really neat things for girls in these neat little boxes, and she was so cute. I finally get in there, and it gave me a seat cushion, a deck of Twice trading cards.
Was this all the VIP stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
So now trying to find out where he is and what's going on. And I did make the 3:30 curfew, which didn't matter anyway. There's 100 different lines. I have no idea which line to get into. Apparently, I'd walk past them. And here's where it also gets a little funny. If you go to a Metallica concert, it is completely not only acceptable, but encouraged to wear a Judas Priest or an Iron Maiden t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It badass, bro, fucking priest, man. As long as it's part of the genre, it's all one family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did not realize that within K-pop, that is actually not the case.
Nope.
Allie, my younger sister, for my 50th birthday, knowing that I love K-pop, going to the show and everything else, bought me this Blackpink hoodie. There's 19 different lines, 1,000 people deep. And I had to turn around and walk towards them. I'm now facing all of these people. And every one of them was looking at me like going, what the fuck is he wearing?
Yep. When I saw the pink, I knew.
And this is nice. She was so proud of it. And I was so proud. I'm going to wear it to the stadium, and I'm going to take a picture of myself wearing it. And I know how good that's going to make her feel to see that. And that's all I care about. I could give two shits what anybody else. Let me ask you, is there beef between Blackpink and Twice?
Not specifically, but K-pop groups in general will pick fights for no reason.
I'm trying to remember, like somehow he knew I was going to be wearing that. So he's texting me, asking me what my t-shirt size is. I was like, oh man, you don't have to do that. You already gave me the ticket. How cool is that? He's like, no man, you got to have that drip. And there's some great shirts here. And I got you. All right, cool. Finally, I see
David.
And the reception I got was, hey man. And back to looking at his phone. He was there with a guy named Ruben, a very nice guy. I had just told them to walk over here. I was getting the stink eye. And Ruben was like, yeah, he probably shouldn't have wore that. I said, I'm going to take a picture of it and say, then I'll take it off because my man here, so thoughtful, got me a shirt. And he looked at from his phone and he goes, no, I didn't.
Oh.
And I was like, did you text the wrong person when you were asking about my shirt size?
If I offered you a shirt and they didn't have it, I would respond back and let you know, or offer to get you something else.
He doesn't owe me anything, but that's just weird. You didn't say anything else about it and clearly have no regrets and are not concerned. Okay, cool, no worries. You know, everyone's letting anybody in. We were in that line for 90 additional minutes. They didn't let us in until 5 o'clock. Finally, we walk in. And now I'm complaining a lot, but I don't think Allegiant Stadium was ready. On the outside, it's gorgeous. You walk in and scaffolding everywhere. We were walking on plywood. The vendors were intense. We all went to the bathroom. When I came out of the bathroom, they did not wait for me. You invited me. You know I'm here by myself. I even told you my phone was about to die. So I called him and they were already 3 levels up. So I'm not enjoying myself. I'm not happy to be here right now. And the actual seats, they were on the floor. I swear to you, were this wide.
I noticed in one of your films, they looked very narrow.
There was no personal space, like at all. And they're all shouting at us. They have no respect for us. Like summer camp for bad kids. When we walked in, put away your cell phones, no cell phones allowed. People spend all this money and are entering the stadium for the first time. They want to see it. And instead, it was like I was going to juvenile detention. I'm not kidding you. Megaphones, fucking screaming and not nice about it.
They can be dicks. People were complaining at, I think, Odd Circle, one of the guys trying to move the line. They're like, come on, they're not the fucking Beatles. Come on. Dude, these people love these people. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Politely tell the line to move.
We've never heard of this band, so we're not sweating them, but you're freaking out, so you must be an idiot. That was the vibe. And the gal, bless her, she was cool as fuck, but 3 times too large for this chair. You could only imagine how uncomfortable she was.
Right.
And I felt for her. David was next to me. He's a bigger guy. I literally could not move my arms. So I just chose to stand in, and I didn't know they were not going to let me film during the sound check. Why would you pay all that money? And they came out and did 3 songs, and you couldn't hear any of it because a fleet of Live Nation drill sergeants with megaphones screaming at everybody the whole time to put away your phones. And I'm just like, is this how the whole night's going to go? I have no idea why anybody would pay for that. Now we have an hour and a half before the concert starts, and we're all hungry. We found this like chicken place, and this is entirely my fault. I have no idea why the hell I do shit like this. I'm from Texas. I like spicy things. When you go to a place, especially like this, a place called Clyde's, and I'm really into like the Nashville hot chicken sandwich thing. They had the spice in 3 levels. This one is going to be pretty mild. This one's kind of like a jalapeno pepper. This third one requires a waiver. Like it didn't, but they were hyping it. Well, every time they say that shit, it's just never spicy enough. But did it need to be? Like, what is wrong with me? So instead of just ordering the jalapeno pepper, I order the clown shit that's like the spiciest thing ever. I took a bite and my soul was on fire. I couldn't catch my breath. And I was like, why did I do this? My mouth was burning so badly that it was numb. And I could barely talk, sweating profusely. I didn't wear a t-shirt underneath my hoodie because I thought I was getting a shirt from him. Remember? So I couldn't take off my hoodie.
You didn't finish all those, did you?
What a cheap ass I am. I wrapped them up and put them in my little K-pop bag, whatever, because I was like, these aren't going to go to waste. I think they were like $18 for 3 tenders. I did finish the one tender. The setup now is we say goodbye to Ruben. The very large gal was now, for some reason, 2 seats over from me. And the people that were on these 2 seats, one girl, so androgynous. It was like for the movie Pat. And if I had to go one way or the other, I'm going to say a girl because she was definitely more feminine than masculine. And with somebody that was masculine, this Asian, bald, short guy wearing aviators the whole time. But she was really into metal, even though she looked like Alan Hunter, the original MTV VJs. She had a mullet and a Cosby sweater. It was just really weird and great. I enjoyed talking with her. But now we understand these 4 seats were originally purchased by David, but he had sold or gifted them to somebody on Discord. Those people couldn't make it. So these two were way up in the nosebleeds, and the Discord people gifted them to these people as an upgrade. So now we had this motley little crew here. For the first time, there was an opening act. group I was completely unfamiliar with. The girl group called VCHA. How do you pronounce it and what do you know about them?
Honestly, I don't know anything about them. All I knew is they were opening. I thought of you because we talked about K-pop groups need an opening act, and now it was finally happening. I wonder what he's going to think about it.
I thought it was great. Smart, especially for a crowd of that size. But what was funny, the girls were not Asian. In fact, one of them was a straight up white girl, like a blonde ninth grader with like braces. One girl was Hispanic. They're on a TV show called A2K. Have you seen this?
No, I'm looking them up now. I don't know how I've missed them.
Originally, it's called A2K. It stands for America to Korea. So it's an American Idol thing of American girls and boys, whatever, that love K-pop so much that they want to make music in the style of K-pop.
Okay. I don't know why any American would want to join a K-pop group, but if they want to simulate the sound, okay, cool.
How much of that is assimilating the culture to a level that could be considered offensive?
That's an interesting question. There's a group called Black Swan. They've been around forever and rotated through a lot of members from all over the world. I was like, keep K-pop, K-pop. But then I started thinking about it. Is it like cultural appropriation? You have Korean rock bands. So it's interesting.
And if there are Americans that think we'll never get to be K-pop adjacent, that doesn't sound right to me. You should be able to be in any kind of band you want. At the same time, the K-pop industry is very unique to that culture. In order for it to be genuine, you have to be somebody that not just sings and dance, but grew up in that culture. The food they eat, the air they breathe, K-pop is a keyhole into that. And when you take that away, it's just more pop music.
Also, because of the rigorous training for years the K-pop kids go through on the American side, not have to go through that grueling lifestyle to achieve the same work, simulating that, I think that's offensive.
I'll use an analogy. Ric Flair was the world champion in the 1980s for the NWA. You had to wrestle every single day and twice on Saturday and twice on Sunday. You would be out of breath reading Ric Flair's schedule. The current champion, Roman Reigns, wrestled 12 times last year. Ric Flair's schedule led to alcoholic issues. Roman Reigns has a healthy relationship with his family and he's not an alcoholic. So on one hand, I don't want to cheapen the boot camp, but I could see Ric Flair fucking resentful and pissed off. This guy gets to be the champion, only wrestled 12 times a year, in the same way that these white American kids go through some little game show and they get to come into your country, into your house and do the thing. You know, America to Korea, the name of the show, A2K, that seems a little weird to me.
I'll have to look into that because the big three companies wanted to branch out into America. So maybe this reality show was part of that. We'll be a little graceful.
Maybe this could be the groundwork to weaken the power of these companies. Before we went live, we were talking about the troubles that Luna went through. These companies are in positions of inscrutable power and should be broken up. Vichia, that's what we said, did like three songs. It was really cool. They got to introduce themselves and all their family members were there. And I mean, what a big moment. Your teen girl is playing her first live gig in Vegas at 75,000 people. So the actual twice. The show starts, besides Blackpink, this is the first time I've seen a group more than once. Where they rank with me in terms of how many songs I know, they're not really a top five for me. So I went into that knowing two or three songs. The actual show was fantastic. And now that brings me to the thing you wanted to clear. We were just talking about with these girls' trainings and you hear horrible shit about food restrictions to maintain that probably unhealthy for anybody. And thankfully, a lot of Asian people have a certain body type and metabolism. But there's some out there that are never going to look like that. That's not how they were born to be. To try to do that, putting their physical and mental health in jeopardy. And I hate that there is a specific girl in Twice that does not fit that cookie cutter kind of thing. She does stand out, but the main reason is that she is hands down the most popular one. Anytime the camera was on her, anytime she spoke, anytime she said or did anything, the place went bonkers. And I love it because she looks more like her audience.
It's also, they know what she's gone through. It started back in 2021. She went through mental health stuff and then came back in good health. She had a physical injury that set her back, and the drugs they have her on has affected her weight. And the Korean fans have been savage about it. American Twice fans have been more sympathetic. It was, no matter how you addressed her weight, like, it's a sensitive subject.
Right now is probably at the weight she should be at. That's what's healthy for her. And she's still freaking gorgeous.
On a show recently with a fan, and it was kind of sad because they were looking back at old clips, and she's like, wow, I used to be really skinny. I used to be pretty back then. And her fan looked at her, some of us think you're pretty now.
Somebody told her she was
Yeah.
supposed to look like that. And that's not how she's supposed to look. Compromising her self-esteem, her self-worth, and her actual health. Some people just are never going to look like that and aren't supposed to. She's gorgeous, and she also kind of seems like the leader.
I think she's one of the lead singers.
But I think she's just the leader anyway. She was calling the shots, and her girls were following suit. She had this presence to her that really seemed like she was the leader. Anytime she said anything, did anything, hands down, the loudest applause of the evening. So much love was being thrown her way. So you might have saw the pictures, and this part was kind of fun. There was this huge migration. There's this bridge right outside Allegiant Stadium that goes across over to Excalibur and the Luxor hotels. So imagine after the concert walking with like 40,000 people across this, like, that part was actually pretty cool. It was like the after party on a bridge. Everybody was very high from what we all had just seen. And the competition for transportation was whatever. They kept canceling. So I was like, let's go over to New York, New York, the hotel next to it. We made plans the next day, being Sunday, being St. Patrick's Day. When you think of Vegas, you think of all the big buffets, right? The second biggest one in Vegas is called AYC, meaning all you can eat at the Palms. There was a long ass line. He was like, man, I got this flight. So we found some barbecue there at the Palms and just ate there instead. As we walked out, it was St. Patrick's Day. There's a little person and like his wife, and they were both probably in their 50s. But I look over and like she's wearing a green thong. He's dressed like a leprechaun. He's got the green hat and the jacket, and she's wearing a G-string bikini. I walk by her and she goes, "Happy St. Patrick's Day." And I lean down and she gives me the green beads and kisses me on the cheek. That's how St. Patrick's Day began, was a little person in a thong gave me some beads.
Tricky Kid Radio is distributed by iHeartRadio and is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the Google Play Store. Subscribe for free on the iHeartRadio app or on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe to Tricky Kid TV on YouTube.com for a stunning visual look at all the fun we have here, plus exclusive content, short films, and more. Follow us on social media. Our Twitter handle, @TrickyKid2. Type Tricky Kid Radio Podcast on Facebook and DJ Tricky Kid on Instagram. Speaking of which, subscribe now to Roy Turner's alter ego DJ Tricky Kid's amazing Twitch channel at twitch.tv for retro gaming, exclusive DJ sets, as well as DJ instruction and live streaming of Tricky Kid Radio, where you, the audience, can participate and interact with our guests. Don't miss a single stream so you can be up to date on the latest on all things Tricky Kid. Subscribe now at twitch.tv/DJ Tricky Kid.